Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Set for the Colts being in their bye week currently. We are getting ready for their next matchup, which is a Week 7 game against the Houston Texans. Through this bye week, wanted to talk a little more in depth about a couple different areas. Tonight, we're going to kind of start with Jacoby Brissett because I feel like a lot of people are kind of trying to figure out exactly who Jacoby Brissett is as a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. There's a lot of talk about, you know, the difference between he and Andrew Luck or he and the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL and kind of what we see him as. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? Is he a franchise guy? Does he have franchise capabilities? All this other stuff. And there's a lot of talk going around lately about it. And I kind of wanted to give my two cents about it. And it's just it's kind of a bare bones approach. But I think that as much as I've talked about Jacoby, both positively and negatively, I want to kind of give a little more of a, you know, through five games opinion about what I feel he's doing right, what I feel he's doing, you know, needs to do much better at, and so on and so forth, and kind of what he's meant to this offense. And we'll go through a couple different things. We'll go through the visual, obviously, but we'll look at some of the stats that kind of, in my opinion, kind of give you what you need to know about not only Jacoby Brissett, but what he actually does for this offense and the trying to discern between the importance between he and Frank Reich in terms of making this offense role. So we'll talk about that first and foremost tonight, and then we're going to go through some of the updated Pro Football Focus grades and get you guys out of here. We'll do a quick podcast tonight, probably about 25 minutes or so. We're going to have a couple more going on. We're going to probably get together with Stampede Radio at some point in time, either later this week, early next week, and kind of talk to you guys a little more in depth about the Houston Texans and kind of what we expect to see from the Colts in Week 7. So Colts 3-2 through their first five games. I think that any way you kind of slice it there, you're excited about that because however you want to replace wins, whether it's, you know, the I expected personally, if you guys recall on these predictions that Jim and I made, I expected the Falcons to be a better team. I expected, you know, the Chargers to not beat the Colts, and kind of, you know, their last several games have kind of decided that as well. But I think that as Colts fans, considering everything that's happened, you know, the Colts come in to the season fairly injury-free. Andrew Luck doesn't practice or do much at all preseason in terms of, like, training camp and whatnot, like 3-4 days of it. Then he retires. Then the Colts are still healthy, you know, going through. We got Jacoby Brissett as our franchise guy heading into the season. Could be a heck of a lot worse, you know, thinking about it, but we feel like we've got the right team around him. And then the Colts just get pummeled with a rash of injuries. So with all things considered, considering they beat the Chiefs, considering they mopped up on the Titans, considering that they kind of blew out the Falcons for three of the four quarters, not that third quarter, the Falcons definitely owned that, but that the Colts kind of beat them up, you know, in a couple different ways through those games. Those three wins, you know, you take the two losses to the Chargers and the Raiders, and you think the Colts should have beat the Chargers considering how they've been playing lately. But the Colts got the very best the Chargers had to offer, I think, in Week 1. And then you look at the Raiders and you think to yourself, the Colts should have beat them. The Raiders are a disaster. Gruden has created a circus in Oakland there. But look, man, they went to London and beat one of the best defenses in the NFL. So, you know, what do you think about it? I think that the Colts are I'm pretty happy with where the Colts are at right now, considering that the Colts went on the road to Arrowhead this past Sunday, not only beat the Chiefs, but beat them in prime time and really kind of own that game. You know, I think that a lot of people see what the Colts can be, that they can impose their will on another team if they so desire and if everything kind of goes well, you know, and regardless of injuries. And that's a very important aspect of it, something that people probably lose sight of quite quickly. The way that this league works, you know, week to week. So, all in all, excited for this. It's the Colts bye week. They need it. Typically, I like the bye weeks to be towards the end of the season, or at least the second, third of the season. And the Colts really needed it to be now, I think, right now. So you hope that the Colts get healthy, figure out what they need to do to continue to stay healthy and get better, and then things will roll from there. So, and hopefully they can stay healthy through the duration of the season. But let's get into our Jacoby Brissett talk for the night. Like I said, I wanted to kind of discuss this because everybody seems to right now have an opinion on him, and I do too. You know, Jacoby's no different, and I know that people like to point out that I've critiqued Jacoby quite rough, rashly or harshly, I guess. Man, I did the same thing to Andrew Luck. There were things that drove me absolutely bonkers about him, and it didn't bother me to sit here and tell you guys that I think he's doing this or I don't think he's doing that. It doesn't make a difference to me who he is. Right now, Jacoby Brissett's the guy running the show for the Colts, and I'm going to give you guys my honest opinion of him, how they were. 2017, there was a lot of things that he did not do well. He didn't look downfield. He never looked downfield when he was running. Very apprehensive to get past that second read and still continue to read the field. He was trying to leave the pocket too quick. You know, he was getting smothered, though, man. He was getting murdered. Led the league in sacks taken that year with 52, so I understand part of it, but there were a lot of things that he was really struggling at, and the team struggled around him. The offensive line sucked. A lot of the weapons that he has now weren't there, so on and so forth. So lots changed since Jacoby Brissett was in under center in 2017. But looking at him this year, you know, you look at a very efficient week one against the Chargers, 21 of 27, two TDs. Looking at week two, kind of the same thing, 17 of 28, not as great on the completion rate, but three touchdowns that week, another two in week three, 75% completion rate, eclipsed 300 yards passing against Atlanta. You'd like to see that. Some of the passing yardage in week four against Oakland was kind of junk yardage, but another three touchdown game, not a good completion rate, but you know, did enough, I think, and then actually pulled the Colts back, aside from that one interception towards the end of the game, but still made another push. And then we look at last week, obviously, 18 of 29, nothing real flashy, didn't throw a touchdown. One of the only, I think that he was the only guy in the league who had thrown at least two touchdowns a game up to that point, and he just wasn't great in week five. So the Colts won, I think, in spite of a pretty blah game from Jacoby Brissett in week five. And it just kind of blows your mind that he could even have that game and the Colts could still beat the Chiefs. But, you know, I think that you look at what he did, and he's dangerous enough in here to where you still have to, and obviously teams have to respect the play action against him. Marlon Mack just tore him up, you know, had another 130-plus yard rushing night. Carried the ball almost 30 times. There's a lot of things that go into the success for Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, you see a couple of these games where his yards per attempt, net yards per attempt, or adjusted yards per attempt, rather, are in pretty good shape. And then you look at, you know, a couple of these other weeks, and it's just like, man. And then, you know, week five was 3.66 adjusted yards per attempt. That's like barely throwing the ball at all downfield. And there was a couple that he made. There was a ton that he threw so short, but the Colts ended up doing enough. Like I said, the running game, he ran in for a touchdown, so you can kind of give him that, you know, whether it comes through the air or by his feet, that doesn't really matter. He was responsible for a touchdown himself. And, you know, the Colts defense really played their butts off too. So through each week, we've seen kind of a different piece of Jacoby kind of come to life. We've seen the games where he struggled. We've seen the games where he's gone to the next level, so to speak. But I think one of the things we're seeing from him, the one consistent thing, I guess I could say that we're seeing from him is his leadership throughout this team. And I know you can't really quantify that with a number here on a stat line or anything like that, but he's got the attention of this offense. And we all love how much Frank Reich puts into this offense and the scheme and how he's able to get guys' attention to really pay attention to detail, to really have them go all in And I really feel like Jacoby Brissett's a really good leader to kind of be underneath Frank Reich for that. And this offense is really, I mean, as a unit, as an entire unit, I'm not going to say they're blooming as if they're blowing up and really taking the league by storm. But they're doing a lot, and they're working well together. And you see a lot of their plays, even on bad plays. That entire unit, one of the things that we've noticed, and if you guys have noticed this at all, the Colts could be so successful going through the in between the tackles with Mack or with Wilkins or whatever they're doing. And then they'll run outside on this outside zone run, and it just looks like crap. And the Colts either don't get a gain, they lose yardage, or they're very short gains. A couple of big plays have come out of it, but very, very few and far between. And you look at all that, but you see them come back from that kind of a play and either pick up a third down opportunity or end up making a second yard or a second down big run. You know, it seems like they snap back very, very quickly. And I think that reads a lot into what Jacoby Brissett brings to that unit in that huddle. Just looking at kind of his base statistics too, it's not all bad. You look at his total yardage, and he's not pushing anybody for the yardage, you know, title or anything like that this year. He doesn't have 30 touchdowns already or nothing like that. But, man, he's slowly but surely putting up some pretty decent numbers. Look, we talk about this elite versus just a guy category kind of. And right now, he's not elite. I mean, we don't even want to get into that. He's just not, okay? Does he have the potential to be? Maybe. I think he's a middle of the road NFL top 15, top 16, okay, top half of the league consistently, but I think he's got potential for top 10 play right now. This is only his second year in the league, and he had to sit out basically a year when Andrew Luck come back in 18. So you're looking at 2017 with honestly a crap offense, crappy play call, very terrible offensive line, fewer weapons, and just brand new system thrown right into the fire almost. So I'm not one to make excuses for Brissett, but the reality is what it is, right? And then you look at, you know, taking a year off. Yes, got more familiar under the system, probably got a lot more confidence behind him as well. And then look at what he's done this year. And I think that I think that anybody who's anybody would see the growth in that one way or the other. No one has to say, oh, he's just a guy. Well, maybe he is right now. But he's definitely got the potential to be a top 10 talent. And if nothing else, from week to week, he can be a top 10, top 5, top 8 quarterback. He's got the arm. He's got the accuracy to a large degree. There are times where he fumbles or, you know, kind of floozies his way through stuff. But look, guys, when Andrew Luck was under center, one of the things that I said most on this podcast is we've got those OS throws from Andrew Luck, who's going to throw into triple coverage with a receiver, you know, with his back to him at least once a game. That's going to happen. There's going to be a what the hell was Andrew thinking at least once a game. I don't know that I've gone into looking at a throw from Brissett where I really felt that way. I mean, maybe I'm just forgetting it. I mean, even the interception from Tyrann Mathieu against the Chiefs this past week, that was the right read. He should have thrown the ball to Ebron. The problem was he had no touch on the ball, and it should have gone to the back corner of the end zone. Tyrann Mathieu was moving laterally to make a play on that ball before Jacoby ever let go of it. If Jacoby puts a little loft on that thing, that only thing that keeps that from being an easy, like basically long handoff for a touchdown is Eric Ebron's hands. That's it. So I love the look that he's given. That was a right throw, the right thing to do. Just didn't end up well. It was a crappy throw. I don't really know that I can say that there have been too many times where I've gone, God, what the hell is Jacoby thinking right there? That makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know that I have come away with too many throws that way. So if we look kind of where he's at this year, let's look where he's at and kind of prorate it a little bit and just look at what, you know, he's on pace for, rather, for the rest of the year. So right now he's at 108 completions for the year thus far. And that puts him on pace for 345 completions with 534 attempts. I think that if you look at that, that's a lot of usage. He threw the ball 469 times in 2017. That's a lot of usage for Jacoby Brissett. And I think that if you have him thrown that many times, that tells you right there, you've got a guy right now that's looking for a load to handle for this offense, just in general for the season. So let's look at what we got in yardage right now. So in 2017, he finished with just under 3,100 yards. Right now, he's on pace for almost 3,400. So there's a little increase there. And that's okay. I would much rather see him throw closer to 3,700 to 4,000 yards. I think anybody would, because that tells you he's going downfield a little bit more. Anything under 3,500 yards, you're kind of, doing the little dink and dunk for the most part. But let's look at his touchdown production as well. Right now he's got 10 touchdowns. That puts him on pace for 32 touchdowns for the year. Go tell somebody at the beginning of the year that Jacoby's going to throw 32 touchdowns, and they're going to think that the Colts have a real opportunity to be pretty successful in 2019. I do. If he throws 32 touchdowns, I'm going to have a hard time finding something to bitch about with Jacoby Brissett. He's on pace also for just under 10 interceptions on the year, 9.6. I think that you guys have to love that too. He's right now got his adjusted yards per attempt is higher than 2017. Nothing to write home about. Yards per catch, right now are significantly lower right now, but his yards per game is higher. His rating's higher. His QBR is higher. His sack percentage is way down from 10% to 3.5% from 2017 to this year. So are we expecting him to go from pretty good and looks like a capable backup to elite top five quarterback in 1 year? Granted, second year in the system, got almost a full season of experience in 2017. Now he's getting a full season of experience as the guy. I'm having a hard time complaining about what I'm seeing out of Jacoby Brissett. No, I don't think he's elite. Does he have the opportunity to be elite? Yeah, I think that he kind of does. I mean, I want to see him, I don't know if I want to see him being aggressive more or if I want to see him trusting what he sees more or what it is exactly, but I have no qualms with him like taking his first read and bypassing it too often. He does it a little bit right now. He does stare down some receivers occasionally, but a lot of times that's just, it's instinct almost. So I'm having a hard time complaining about what he's doing. And let's look at it right now. If we're going to talk about it, let's look at, what he's doing with the offense in general. According to Football Outsiders and their offensive drive stats, you're looking at points per drive where the Colts are currently, I'm sorry, yards per drive. The Colts are fifth in the league. They're eighth in points per drive. 14th in turnovers per drive, interceptions and fumbles per drive, all the same. Their average starting position is not great, 21st in the league, but they are tops in the league in plays per drive, third in the league in time of possession per drive, and fourth in the league in drive success rate. That tells you right now that this Colts team right now is clicking offensively on all cylinders. And what's more, okay, so let's just do this too while we're at it. Let's be realistic about everything that we're seeing here. It's not easy to do that offensively when you've got a defense that sucks right now. Put that Chiefs game out of your mind for the most part and think about what they did before that. Not much. Right now the Colts are virtually in everything, points per drive, the time of possession per drive defensively, turnovers per drive, average line of scrimmage, they're pretty decent, top 12 in the league. But plays per drive allowed, time of possession per drive allowed, and drive success rate, the Colts are all 25th, 26th, a 122 in there, 29s. They're ranked in the bottom 5, 6, 8 teams in just about every category defensively. That's not easy to do offensively, is to have that kind of success offensively when your defense literally isn't doing nothing for you. So we got to think about that too. So I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen from Jacoby Brissett. Yes, I think a lot of it is kind of being that he's under the tutelage of Frank Reich. But right now, folks, hey, it could be a hell of a lot worse. Right now, Jacoby Brissett's keeping the Colts in games. They're in every game. They're not being blown out by anybody. You could legitimately say right now that the Colts have the opportunities to be 5-0. You can't even get an argument about that. One score away. And I think that that's pretty impressive right now when you're looking at a guy who's gotten no more experience than he does. I mean, a lot of the second-year guys right now, that's basically Jacoby Brissett. Yes, he had some time back in New England, but in terms of running the team, being the guy, having the show under his belt for an entire year, not a lot of them can say that they've been as successful as he is. Pretty reliable for the most part, too. 10 touches, 3 interceptions at this point. Winning games, big game on the road, unflappable for the most part, not really seeing him get flustered or rattled. That's kind of big. I mean, guys, that's big. I'll be honest with you. We saw Luck get rattled all the time, I think, personally. I mean, he'd go over to the sideline and he'd say all the right things and all that other crap, but I think pretty much when you see Luck throw one of those what the hell is he doing throws, I mean, it's hard to say he wasn't rattled, I guess. You know, maybe not. Maybe I'm seeing it differently. And I'm not really comparing the two in terms of their abilities for that matter. I'm just simply saying. I just don't think they're the same, whether you want to call it mentally or leadership-wise. I think Luck was a good leader in his own right. But I think that this offense is feeding off Brissett and his confidence and his ability to lead this group. I truly do. So we're going to come back with the updated Pro Football Focus grades right after these messages.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
All right, guys, we're back. Thank you for coming back to the show. All right, let's dive right into it. Let's get into the Pro Football Focus grades right now. Quarterbacks, our man Jacoby Brissett that we just spent 15 minutes talking about, sitting at 26th overall right now with a 59.5 grade. This kind of makes me bleh a little bit. I don't like where they've got him, and I'm trying to figure out kind of where it is. Is it the lack of aggression? We've talked about that in the past or what. But right behind Andy Dalton in front of Josh Allen and Jameis Winston, and I mean, that just kind of blows my mind. And then you see some guys who are going downfield but are statistically terrible right now. Just, for example, Baker Mayfield, Chase Daniel. I'm kind of surprised that's there. I like that Gardner Minshew's actually up there a little higher, but I think that's being a little overdeveloped for some reason. I think that it's neither here nor there. This is so early in the season, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where you want to put these guys for the most part, to be perfectly honest with you. But 26th right now in the league isn't pretty. I mean, it's just not at all. Let's move on to the running backs. Marlon Mack, 10th, tied for 10th actually with Carlos Hyde, with a 76.0 grade. And then basically you love what you're seeing out of Marlon Mack right now. The ability to run between the tackles, second level, making guys miss. I love it. You get that speed, that burst, and you just kind of feel like the Colts really got something with Marlon Mack right now. And it's really fun to watch. Nyheim Hines is 33rd overall, tied with a few guys at 65.4. Looked better with the runs, not that they counted this past week, but he definitely did look better running the ball as opposed to just being a simple weapon. You know, I've long since said he's not a running back. He is a running back playing receiver and a lot of other positions that the Colts need him to do, but he's done pretty well lately behind this line and running the ball. So I'm pretty impressed with him, pretty happy with him as of late. Let's moving on to the wide receivers here. First for the Indianapolis Colts is T.Y. Hilton, tied at 19th overall with Tyler Boyd with a 77.1 grade. T.Y. is so important to this team, guys, and I don't need to tell you guys over and over how important he is, but he is. Zach Pascal comes in at 48th, tied with a couple guys, including Larry Fitzgerald, with a 67.7 grade. He's been pretty rock solid for the Colts this year. He's been strong. He's been he's had the ability to go downfield. He's getting open. He's been a part of a few really cool plays, too, that Frank Reich's pulled up. So I'm happy to see that he was a guy that was kind of on the cusp. I was kind of like, why the hell is he on the roster if they're going to have other guys back there catching punts? But he's done a damn good job as a receiver this year, not just blocking, but he is one of those grunt guys. I mean, he will block downfield. He'll do whatever it takes. He's a good teammate to have, and he's productive. Paris Campbell's at 75th overall with a 59.5 grade. And that's kind of hard to decide one way or the other what he really brings. Same with Deion Kane sitting at 101 with a 53.3. Chester Rogers at 109 with a 44.8. So it kind of goes downhill. But the important thing to remember here is that some of these guys, being so young, they're not getting a ton of snaps. They're not making a ton of noise when they do get the snaps. So that's kind of disheartening. But, you know, it'll come with time. We're 5 weeks in. We've got to be a little patient with some of these guys. Moving on to tight ends, Jack Doyle sitting at 16th overall with a 71.8 grade. Mo'Ale Cox right behind him, 18th with a 70.9. I think that I really like those two as the future, but I really like Mo'Ale Cox as the future at the tight end position for the Colts. Really liked a lot of what he does. But, man, he just doesn't seem to have quite the speed that I thought he did. I think he's a little more agile, a little more athletic naturally, and it makes him look faster. But I'm not seeing a lot of the speed that I guess that I assumed he had with him or in him that rather lately. Eric Ebron is at 46th overall with a 55.8 grade. The tight end group is really tough. You know, I love this tight end group right now. But they've got to – I mean, Doyle's been fantastic. But Ebron's got to step up. I think Mo'Ale Cox has to really define his role within this group. And, you know, but all in all, they're a tough out for a lot of defenses. And that's something that's going to help this offense tremendously in the future. Moving on to tackles, Anthony Costanzo still at third overall with an 85.1 grade. He's had an excellent year, guys. Fantastic year. Braden Smith, he's at 13th overall, 72.1 grade, tied with Teron Armstead. You have to love what we're seeing out of our offensive line. Quentin Nelson, top-rated guard on PFF right now, 90.9. He's a beast. He's a beast. Everybody loves him. It's impossible to not look at him and think he's just going to kill somebody, and he loves doing it. He's active. He's tough. He's strong. He's technical. He's everything you want in an interior offensive lineman. And then you've got Mark Glowinski, who just isn't having the year he had last year. However, I mean, not too bad, okay? I mean, he's 38th overall with a 58.4. That's nothing to tell, you know, to write home about, so to speak. But he's doing enough right now to where if Kelly's on, Braden's on, Nelson's on, that this offensive line's pretty stout. He's not just letting people through. He's strong enough to hold them off. One of the things they've got to do is work on stopping stunts and anything that they can throw at them with a little bit of misdirection. The Colts have to be able to handle that. Glowinski's got to be – he's going to be the weak spot in that offensive line. That's who they're going to target. So he's going to have a hefty dose, in my opinion, against Houston. He's going to have to step up to the challenge. Looking at centers right now, now Ryan Kelly's had his ups, he's had his downs right now. PFF likes him. He's sitting at 11th overall with a 66.9 grade. He has been up and down. He's been good, but he's had a couple really bad games. I'm surprised that Pro Football Focus isn't just knocking him out for that, but they don't typically do both sides, it seems. They either love you or hate you the whole year. He hasn't dropped significantly this year at any point in time that I can really recall. So I think that they like Ryan Kelly this year for some reason. But looking at cornerbacks, the Colts don't really, you know, have anybody that's up here in the top 25 or anything like that. But as a unit, you see how impressive the secondary can be when they all play together and play well together and play a little bit of man, mix that with those zones, and then really kind of drive on the ball as much as possible. And right now, Kenny Moore is the top-rated corner for the Colts at 47th, tied with Kevin King with a 64.2 grade. Right behind him at 57th overall is Rock Ya-Sin with a 61.5. He's going to rise this year. He's a little touchy in coverage, but man, he's athletic. He's powerful. He's physical, and he's good. I think that he runs some pretty damn good coverage. So I'm excited to watch him continue to grow this year. Pierre Desir is 83rd overall with a 52.7 grade. Pierre Desir had a really good game the other night. I think he did really well, given that I won't say that he took Kelsey out of the game, but Kelsey was not having a good game. Pierre Desir was in his hip pocket a lot. So it was Quincy Wilson. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, they drove him nuts. And I thought that the Colts did a really, really good job of, kind of keeping him in line. I think that was a big part in what the Colts had to do to win the game, because they weren't checking him at the line of scrimmage. They were relying on their coverage, and the Colts did a pretty damn good job getting that coverage taken care of. So had to give them the benefit of the doubt there. Malik Hooker is still sitting at 11th with a 76.1 grade. He hasn't played in a couple weeks, not going to play for a few more. I should probably quit talking about him until he does, regardless. But that's where they've got him, his grade. I think that was through three games for him. Kari Willis, folks, sitting at 20th with a 70.8 grade. The other day I was listening to somebody talk about him, and I don't think that there's a lot of, he's not just a massive, like, muscular specimen or anything like that, but damn it if he doesn't hit like Bob Sanders sometimes. And I couldn't get it out of my head, and then I was mad at myself for even making the comparison, because they're just really not the same type of player. But man, he's able to play in coverage. He's not super great in coverage, but man, he's pretty decent. I mean, he's a little more consistent than a lot of the guys that are up here in the top 15, top 20 in coverage grades. So, I think that Kari Willis is a real find right now, and I hope that he can maintain it, because he's a tough dude. And man, he loves to hit, and he's not a big guy either. So I like what the Colts have in him. I'm liking that he's going to be able to get some more snaps, because then we'll really see if Clayton Gathers, when he comes back, deserves to be that guy opposite Malik Hooker when he's back. And speaking of Clayton Gathers, he's down at 62nd overall, 56.4 grade. The safety group's going to be fun to watch, kind of see how it develops and who develops to be in which position throughout the rest of the year. Moving on to linebacker, again, Colts just don't have anybody up here in the top 20. But after last week's game, Bobby Okereke, good coverage, good tackling, strong, strong guy at the point of attack, 23rd overall right now with a 66th grade. I like Bobby Okereke. I think that if we can find a way to move him in there to more of a little bit of a heavier rotation, even when Darius Leonard's back, I think the Colts benefit from that. Moving Anthony Walker in and out a little bit, keeping Darius Leonard in there, doing a three-man rotation with those two. That's a tough trio to be moving in and out between the Mike and the Will. And I think that does nothing but improve the Colts' chances. Now, what Bobby Okereke does, especially we saw him in coverage carrying a running back all the way up the seam into the end zone. There are a lot of people have been playing that gif, and I mentioned it as soon as that play happened, that was pretty impressive. The running back probably should have caught the ball. It bounced right off his hands, at least off his fingertips. But man, Okereke was right in his hip pocket, and I just didn't expect to see him that close or to have that ability to really make a play on the ball as it was delivered in the back of the end zone. And he was right there. I think that gives the Colts a little bit of leeway with what they do with their coverages, with their nickel coverages. Can they keep him in there and disguise a little bit of things with him in there in that rotation? I don't know. Just saying that I think that the Colts like what they've got in him. And if he keeps it up, that could probably get him some more snaps if they feel like they can use him in coverage And if he can do anything on a tight end in terms of physicality at the line of scrimmage, that's going to be his calling card. That's going to be his in. And that's going to get him a crap ton of snaps. Darius Leonard sits at 63rd overall with a 48.5 grade. I'm anxious to see him come back. Anthony Walker sits at 73rd with a 41.1 grade. Nothing exponentially great from Anthony Walker. He's making tackles. He's having an okay year. He's just kind of blah right now, you know. I think that the combination of him and Leonard is something special, whether they work well, have the great chemistry together, or whether it's that Walker looks better because Leonard was in there. I don't know. We'll have to see. But like I said, I would really like to see a rotation with him, Leonard, and Okereke. Let's move on to the interior defensive linemen. The Colts had a pretty good week last week. They finally started to get some pressure from the interior, and they hadn't been able to do that in a long time. Danico Autry sits at 33rd overall with a 74.2 grade at the moment. And as the year goes on, the Colts need more from other guys. Grover Stewart has to be a better piece for the Colts to be able to create some pressure. Marcus Hunt has to be able to be a guy who earns that contract. And right now, Grover Stewart sits at 97th overall with 53.9. That's not enough. That's not enough. Good week last week. Got to do more. Marcus Hunt sits at 103rd, 49.4. And I'm not only do the Colts need Tyquan Lewis to come back, they need to come back, and he needs to kick some ass. Because he's got a job waiting for him as a starter, in my opinion, for the taking. He gets in there and starts to create some pressure, starts to show that he can play tough against the run. As an undersized defensive tackle and kind of an oversized defensive end to a degree, I think that you just have to, you know, see that he's one of the perfect hybrids. And if he can kind of grasp this opportunity post-injury, then, you know, it'll be exciting to watch him. Let's move on to the edges. Really sucks to see that Teray's going to be gone for the year. He was having a good year. And, man, he's so young. You see the development that was coming in him. And knowing that he was one of the best speed rushers in the NFL at the point, if I'm not mistaken, with success rate. But at any rate, moving on to the edges, Justin Houston sits at 27th overall for the Colts with a 73.6 grade. What are the Colts going to do now without Teray? Are they going to be able to find a little bit of extra pass rush from Jabal Sheard? Is Al-Kadeem Muhammad going to step in? He's going to be able to be a little more prominent piece. I don't know, but they need to do something. And right now, Al-Kadeem Muhammad sits at 63rd overall with a 62.9 grade. I just feel like the Colts have a lot to be desired on the edges, and they really need somebody to come in and do what the Colts want to be done. And let's hope that they can. Whether they bring somebody in, whether they, like I said, give more snaps to Kadeem Muhammad, maybe Tyquan Lewis kicks out occasionally, kind of that guy who can play both. Maybe that's why they love him so much. It's hard to tell. But right now the Colts defensively have to get better significantly. Offensively, I think they're going to kind of start getting into their own, and that's going to help them too. So, well, guys, that's what we got for the show tonight. We've got another solid week and a half before we see the Colts take on the Houston Texans. Sitting at 3-2, both teams. The Texans put a 50-burger on the Falcons, and were kind of able to stomp them as they got a big lead. The Colts weren't able to do that, but they did kind of work them over. Colts had a big win themselves against a good team, and that makes a difference. The Falcons are kind of terrible, so I feel like anybody in any given day could throw 50 on them. But here's the thing. The Falcons also put 32 on the Texans. So the Colts need to find out how to get that number higher offensively, get those points up, put the ball in the air, get more points, enjoy the success rate you're having on the ground, but do more when you've got the ball in your hands and utilizing these receivers when you have the opportunity. Try to get somebody a breakout game, because I think that's on the horizon, I think, quite quick. So That's all for this week. I'm sorry, for tonight. And then we'll get you guys another show here by the end of the week. We'll have a couple next week before their game against the Texans. And we'll hope that the Colts can sit alone atop the AFC South after their sixth game, week seven. We'll have to see what happens, but it's going to be exciting. We got a lot to talk about between now and then. Folks, make sure you guys are getting on Stampede Radio. Make sure you guys are getting that here on this feed. Also, with the Tick Pick, get that the Stampede promo code. Make sure you put that in. That's for $10 off any payment or any ticket order over $99. So anything $100 on the price, get it. You get $10 off. Use Stampede as your promo code. Make sure you guys are doing that, man. Whether it's concerts, football games, anything, do it and use it. I use it all the time. It's a great service. So make sure, and as always, get yourself StampedeBlue.com for all your Indianapolis Colts news and notes and analysis. We'll talk to you guys again later on in the week. But that's it for me today on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.